Well, this morning we have a treat. This morning I'm going to invite out our pastoral intern, Prashanth. Can you all say hi to Prashanth? Prashanth, can you say your full name for everybody in the room?
I'm Prashanth Bethu.
I'm just going to stick with Prashanth, though. I've got that one. I've nailed it. Prashanth has been with us since July. He's a recent graduate of Asbury Seminary, same seminary Pastor Jeff graduated as well. And he's been spending time with us, learning about how we do church in order to go back to his home country of India and be a part of his family's church there. But the truth is, everybody, myself included on staff, would say we've learned way more from him than he's ever going to learn from us. But Prashanth's going to be sharing with us this morning. I know he's got a really great word for us. Can you all do me a favor and welcome Prashanth?
Thank you. Thank you, Nick. Thank you, Pastor Nick, and thank you, everybody. Let's pray. Father, thank you for your sacrifice. That's the reason that we gather here this morning. Break our hearts for what break yours. Speak to us through your word. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Well, good morning once again. All right, that's better. Good morning. As I said, I'm from India, and I came to the United States for the first time in January, and that too to Kentucky. And it was snowing really bad, and I have no idea. In my life, I have never seen a snow. I mean, that's so weird. And they sent me a letter saying, hey, it's going to be super cold. You got to get your winter clothes. And I went around the town and finally found the thickest coat I can find. And after I got here and I put it on, it was like a windbreaker. I was like, this is not working. But anyways, so when I came, this is around 12:30 a.m., middle of the night, and this guy came from seminary, picked me up from the school, from the airport, and dropped me in the school and said, you know what? You need to have your student ID. Without student ID, it's really life going to be difficult. So the first thing you need to get is your student ID. So tomorrow morning at 9 o'clock, I said 9 o'clock, you're going to get your student ID at the student services office. Okay. I said, thank you, sir. And I have never experienced something called jet lag in my life. Trust me, it was horrible. I was half asleep. I was half awake. I have no clue what's happening around me. And this is middle of the night. Everybody is sleeping, but I'm wide awake. And he told me, and I don't know anything about the culture or anything about the United States, but all I know, one thing was Americans are on time. Okay, when they say 9 o'clock, it's 9 o'clock. It's not 9:05, 9:10, so I'm like, oh my gosh. First impression is the best impression. I got to do this. I don't want, because back home, going 5 minutes, 10 minutes, sometimes 20, 30 is okay, depending on the situation. So I don't, no. I don't want to be that Indian guy. I want to be... Okay, you got it. So that's where I decided to go, sharp 9 o'clock. I was up. I was there a couple minutes early than I was supposed to be, and everything was silent, and the doors were closed. I was like, okay, when they said 9 o'clock, I think they're going to open at 9 o'clock. I was waiting, past couple minutes, still it's closed. And then I decided to go back because it's, again, cold. And I came back after 10 minutes, and still it was closed. And I got no idea what's happening here. And I went back because it's cold again. And I came back and still the doors were closed. I'm like, you gotta be kidding me. I thought only Indians are not on time. Trust me, even Americans are not on time. What's going on here? But I was standing there thinking that. And there's a guy who walked from my back and he walked in. He opened the door and he walked in. I was like, that time my heart was broken because the whole time I was standing, the doors were unlocked. Here is the deal. What happened was back home, when the doors were prop open, that means it's a sign the office is open. And you get in. When the doors are closed, no matter what, the office is closed. I have no idea what's going on. I was standing in the wrong position without knowing. All I need to do is go open the door and get in. Yeah, this sounds funny, but friends, I want to remind you a small little thing. There are people out there in the world looking for truth, searching that satisfies their soul. They are getting really close to that position but they don't know how to open the door. The one who brought us here and giving us the same sign, got to bring them into his Father's house. That's what we are called to do. This morning, scripture is from Matthew chapter 18, verse 12 to 14. What do you think? If a man owns 100 sheep and one of them wanders away, will he not leave the 99 on the hills and go to look for the one that wandered off? And if he finds it, truly I tell you, he is happier about the one sheep than about the 99 that did not wander off. In the same way, our Father in heaven is not willing that any of these little ones should perish. It's an interesting passage. We can find that passage in Matthew as well as in Luke. It was talking about there's a lost sheep that went missing, and this shepherd has 100 sheep. Out of 100, he lost only one. As he got back home and he was looking for that particular one, it went missing. And his heart was like, oh my gosh, one is missing. Okay, it passed my duty. It's after 5. I clocked out already. No, his heart was like running after this one little lost sheep, and he decided to go back and search for this little one. As he went back looking for this sheep, I don't know, he got some name for this little sheep. He might be calling or yelling this name in the valleys where he took his flock. He must be looking for it. And finally, when he found it, he went all the way close to that sheep and said, you the troublemaker. No. He didn't say that word. When he saw that, he was overwhelmed with joy. He was happy. He was filled with happiness because this was lost, but now it is found. And he took that one, he showed the love, he put it on his shoulders. He was filled with joy walking back home, and he's not just happy with himself, but he invited his friends and everybody to celebrate with him. He said, hey, look, this was lost, but now it's found. Our Father's heart is running after the people who are lost. There are people out there in the world. We see in this map, we see this map right here. It's not talking about the percentage of Christianity in the world. I'm talking just this map. The red color represents just unreached or less reached people groups. I'm not talking about Christianity percentage. These are the places in the world. They are still unreached. Haven't heard about who is the real Savior, where can we find the real truth of Jesus Christ that can transform our people, our lives. There are people in our neighborhood, there are people in Lexington or South Carolina, in this country or anywhere else in this world, looking for that truth. They're living in the darkness, they have no idea how the real freedom looks like. I want to talk a little about my testimony. According to 2011 census of India, 2.3% are Christians, and the population is 1.3 plus billion people. Out of that, it is just 2.3%. That breaks my heart. That breaks my heart. And rest everything is in huge number. It's a big obstacle that's ahead of us. But God, when the shepherd lost only one sheep, his heart was broken and he went looking after this one lost sheep. But I can see here, there are only 2.3 sheep that are in the church, and rest 97 are outside. I don't know how much Father's heart is broken. And our family is one of those lost sheep. I can definitely tell you that. We belong to a very strong Hindu family. And we have our own all kinds of idol worship that's been happening in our house. For the first time, my grandmother heard about Jesus. That's a really dramatic kind of situation because she has, I'm talking about the little small village where there is no church and they have no connection with the rest of the world. It's such a small little village and there are people who are moving from village to village selling their stuff. They are doing their business. They are trying to promote their stuff and they're selling their stuff and they stopped by our house and they're trying to sell their things and they told to my grandmother, there's only one thing. They said, Jesus is the God. There is power in his name. Jesus is the God. That phrase just caught her attention. And she started, she went back, she got into the house and she was married to a guy who is a super idol worship guy. That's my grandfather. And when she started, that word kind of came back to her in her heart and that kind of Holy Spirit worked in her heart. And she was convicted that Jesus is the only God. The things I've been doing over the years are not the right things. Those things, those idols are not giving me peace in my heart. And she decided, like, I'm going to believe this God because he brought peace in my life. And she started praying, but that is not a good thing in my family. And my grandfather found one day that she was praying to a different God. And he got super mad. He came to her and said, you got to stop doing this. This is not something we do in our family or in our religion. This is something super crazy. And this is super offensive to our community and to our family. You got to stop doing this. But she got convicted by Holy Spirit that Jesus is the only God. And she has no idea what's going to come in ahead of her. And when she continued praying, he started abusing her. He started beating her. The beating was really, really bad. She went through a lot. But only one thing she knows is that Jesus is God and he can transform lives. And she started sharing a little bit about Jesus. She has no idea because she has never been to school. She doesn't have a Bible. She can't read. She can't write. There is nothing. There is no physical source that she can know who real God is. The only thing was Jesus is God. There is power in his name that changed her heart. And then she decided, man, I should not end this real faith. I got to know this God. Now I have to spread this word. And she decided to share to her children who are 7. And my father is one of those 7. And she started sharing about Jesus to her kids when father is away. When my grandfather is out of the house, she started calling her children and started sharing about, hey, I heard about this. And Jesus is the only God. You got to believe this. And you got to stop worshiping the idols. And these kids, my parents, they were going back and forth, going to the idol worship, coming back, and mother gives some favorite. Mother knows how to do things. And finally, she was able to teach, and my father, one of those, when he got encountered with Jesus, whole thing has changed. He was married, and he and his wife, that's my mother, they decided to serve the God because God called them for a specific purpose and they decided to serve this God. And they went back to his father saying, Dad, God is calling me for ministry. I want to go and do ministry. And my grandfather got super, super mad. And he said, Son, if you repeat the sentence again, that's not going to be any good. You got to stop doing this. But my father said, there's something really strong that's bothering me and my wife. I don't think I want to say it. He said, I'm warning you once again. If you say that again, I'll not call you as my son. You'll be kicked out of the house right now. And they both decided, and I was 18 days old, little baby, and I have a sister who is like 2.5 years old. I really thank God for my father's decision. He said, I don't care. I'm not looking for this property, but my Father in heaven can take care of me. And he decided to move out of the house with two little kids, kicked out of the house, being on streets, and then decided to follow Jesus, where God showed a vision to go to a particular place called Mangalagiri. Don't try to repeat that. And God brought us to this little town of Mangalagiri where we don't know anybody, not even seen this. We don't know that this place exists. But my parents moved by faith, just knowing that God called them to this specific place as a mission field. This is totally in a different state. And India has this crazy thing. Every state has their own language. It feels like going from one state to another state is like totally a different country. And as we move to a different state, all of a sudden, the language is different, culture is different, and no support from anybody. It's everything is going crazy. But my parents, I really thank God for their faith. They decided not to give up. And I, growing up, I've seen the worst situations in my life. I had really hard time seeing these things. And every time, even for simple things, like my friends at school, when they have these little candies, I'm talking about the little ones. When they have those little candies, when I come back home and ask my mom, "Mom, can I have this piece of candy?" She used to say this horrible sentence that you gotta pray. I was like, come on, for a piece of candy you need to pray? I know, but as a kid I have no idea why they are asking me to pray. The situations that we had is like they can't even afford to buy a piece of candy. But all they did was, from that time, they said, "Son, Jesus is the only God. Don't worry about those physical things. He will take care of us." That's how I grew up, and that thing made me super mad. And my whole ambition was for my life was just to become a computer science engineer. Because I started hating ministry. As a pastor's kid, I've seen the worst situations where my family is going through. It was horrible, terrible. I can't explain. I said, like, I don't want this kind of lifestyle. I decided to become a software engineer. And my life, I want to live my life more comfortably than these guys. I love Jesus. It's not that I don't like this God. I love Jesus, but no, that's not my thing. And there's one interesting story in Old Testament from Judges chapter 6. This guy, the situation right here is Israel is going through a lot of hard, terrible time. Their enemies are coming and taking their crops, and they're stealing everything from them. They're having really hard time going through. And there's a guy who is hiding himself by name Gideon. And he's hiding himself somewhere behind these rocks and trying to gather some food. And he decided to fill his stomach for himself. He's being very creative by hiding himself and getting some food. And all of a sudden, this thing happened in chapter 6, verse 12. When the angel of the Lord appeared to Gideon, and he said, "The Lord is with you, you mighty warrior." That sounds really crazy, because Gideon is not a mighty warrior. He is hiding from the situations that's happening. And all of a sudden, this angel appears and says, "You mighty warrior, you gotta get up." I'm like, what? My name is Gideon, not mighty warrior. Excuse me. And there's little different things happen, and the story continues. And it's really fascinating and interesting to see. Gideon found all kinds of excuses that he can find in the world. And this is what it says in chapter 6, verse 15. He says, "Pardon me, Lord," Gideon replied, "but how can I save Israel? You know what? I am the weakest and lowest in the family. I don't have skills. I don't have this. You might have got a wrong last name. My name is Gideon, but my last name is different. You might have got somebody different. Excuse me, you knocked on a wrong door. You got to find the right person, because I'm the weakest one. I'm the lowest one. I don't have these qualifications, God." But God has different plan and purpose for Gideon's life. When he started understanding and realizing and trusting this God, and when he obeyed, God did a mighty thing in people of Israel's life. He brought freedom. He brought light into the darkness. The whole people of Israel was redeemed by one little fella. The interesting thing in here is God called him to do, but actually God is with him all the time. Gideon was so scared, but "I can't do this. I can't do that. I don't have this. I don't have that." But then he realizes, it's not me who is doing it. I'm just showing up, and rest, everything is taken care of by God. And he did. And even I was one of those person, as my story continues, I will talk about a little bit about my calling for ministry. And I was growing up, as I said, no ministry. Absolutely no ministry, because that's something terrible I don't want to experience. I've seen enough. That's it. I'm good. And there's two reasons why I want to become a software engineer. One, I hate ministry. And two, I'm an extreme introvert. If we have one person right in front of me, that's it. Because, I mean, I can tell you stories, because as a, growing up, again, pastor's kid, sometimes they are super smart. They are not supposed to be. But I was one of those. And when friends come home and we decide to have a dinner, and you know, as a pastor's kid, when your father is going to ask you, like, Prashant, can you lead us in prayer for the food? And I know those situations. So I've been very smart. I know it's coming. So all of a sudden, everybody gathers around the table. I walk away, sit in the toilet, just listening to say that magic word called Amen. It's time to come out. So I was terrified. I can't even pray. I was that bad. So having this kind of all things going on in my life, I decided, Amen. I'm not... This is not my thing. I'm not going for anything like this. Computer engineer, because computer science engineers have one magic thing. They don't need to worry about anything else in the world except for their computer. If you have your computer, that's all. And I was thinking, growing up, all those things. I was like, okay, I got the good life pattern. I decided to do this, do that. Good. But I went to college for that. As I was in my third year of my college, I happened to visit a temple. It's called World's Largest Temple. And believe it or not, they have 60 to 70,000 people visiting this temple every single day. This is huge. It's unbelievably huge. And there are people everywhere. I happened to visit this temple. I was standing in the top where I could see all these people. And it was like mind-blowing situation for me. I have no clue what's happening. And all of a sudden, I could hear somebody speaking in my ears. The words are like this: you are safe and you are secure. What about these people? You are safe and you are secure. What about these people? You are safe and you are secure. What about this kind of kept echoing in my ears. I couldn't get rid of it. It was kept coming in my ears. And definitely, there is nobody who is next to me speaking to me, but it's the Holy Spirit that kept echoing in my mind and in my ears. I couldn't hold it anymore. I was like, no, no, because I was so stubborn that I don't want to listen to God. Because of two things. This is not my cup of tea or coffee. And I can't stand in front of people, because if you come to ministry, that's going to be horrible. If somebody shaking, no. Then I went back and I decided, okay, if I share this, as a pastor's kid, again, you be smart sometimes. And I decided, oh man, God is calling me for ministry. I better don't tell to anybody. Because sometimes Christians are like this, like, you better obey to God's call. If not, he's going to bring you where he wants to go. It's like, I'm tired. I don't want to listen to those things anymore. I decided, okay, God, I know you're calling me for ministry, but I got my own way. I decided, okay, I'm doing my own thing. That's where I went back to college, and I graduated from the college, and here is my phone rings one day after my graduation, and that's from my dad, and said, son, congratulations. You got admissions for your master's degree. That sounds really amazing, but at that point of time in my life, there is something going on I can't really explain. There is a weird situation inside of me that's bothering me really bad, because I kept this calling for ministry for 2 years, not sharing to anybody, not praying about it, nothing. It's literally like a pain in my bones or fire in my bones that's really hurting me, bothering me. And I said, Dad, there's something different I want to do. And he said, what's happening? Fathers know what's happening there. And he said, son, what's going on? Share it. And I said, Dad, I don't think I want to go for my master's degree. I think I want to do ministry. And there's a little silence. And my father said, son, come home. Oh boy. He said, come home. I was like terrified what's gonna happen at home. And that next morning I went home, the whole silence, that's so awkward. And I sat there and my parents sat with me and said, my mother said like this, son, we have been praying for this moment from the time we were kicked out of the house, because it's not just us to know this real God. We want our kids and their kids to know this God, not only just knowing. We want this people in the world to know the truth through you guys. This has been our prayers, but we don't never want to force you into ministry, but we have been praying. I'm like, you guys are behind me all the time. And I was so excited because they are supporting me. They are with me. It's like, you took a big career and all of a sudden you took a big U-turn. No, they said, like, we are super excited than you. And again comes the problem is, again, I can't stand. So I decided to work with the church behind the scenes. You've never seen me on the stage. So life was much happy at that time because I obey to my call and I'm not on stage. So my purpose and God's purpose also fulfilled. But God's plans are, again, totally different than what we think. And he led me to do my master's in divinity in India. So now I officially became a pastor. Now I got to get on the stage. And it was a scary part at the time. And I was, it was time and finally I got married to my beautiful wife, and we decided to serve the Lord together, and God's plans are totally different. He turned things upside down over one night, and he brought me to the United States of America. And I was like, this is totally a big shift. I have no clue what's happening around me. And he brought me to Asbury Seminary, and I was able to learn a lot of different things. And this guy standing right here started speaking English only from past 4 years. That means 1 year before coming to United States. And language became big, big, big problem. But he said, I'm with you, just go. I obeyed my call and I decided to come here. I was able to learn a lot of different things, and God's divine plan and purpose is totally different, because I was praying, God, you brought me here. You got to give me a vision what I'm going to do after this, because your plans are totally different. I am tired of planning my own things. I am tired. I want to give you time to till when, you know. This was my little prayer, because God, by the time I finish my school and I go back in a plane, if you give me vision by then, it's okay. If not, I don't want this plane cross these oceans. That was my little real prayer. And his divine provision and plan, he brought me here to Mount Horeb, where I could find my vision and purpose for the ministry he has ahead of time. I really want to pause for a second here to thank this church. Thank you so much for giving me this opportunity to stay with you all for this seven, 8 months. And I want to thank the church leadership here for giving me this wonderful opportunity to learn. I have learned a lot of things. God has different plans and purposes in each and every one of our life. I really want to thank again, once again, for these three women in my life. One, my grandmother, who kept the faith, brought faith into our family. Second is my mother, who prayed over me for so many years. And thirdly, for my wife, who was supporting me all the time. And coming to my grandmother, once again, she has taken these beatings or abused by her husband for 18 long years. She didn't give up. He was beating her, she kept praying. He was beating her, she kept praying. And finally, the miraculous thing happened in our family. My grandfather decided, oh, this God is more powerful than anything else. And he decided to follow Jesus. He took baptism and became a Christian, and he joined the church. Hallelujah. That one single person, we don't know who this person who stopped and shared Jesus to this lady. And that guy's time, when he took time to share about Jesus, the whole family situation was changed, their next generation was changed, and next generation, that's me, has changed, and God has different plans for the future coming generation. God has placed you in some place where you can stop for a second and share about Jesus. You may be a business owner, or you may be working at some place, but you may be a student in a school or a college, but God has plans for you. Go ahead, take the time, stop for a second, and share Jesus. I want to give a quote from a book called A Gentle Thunder by Max Lucado. It says like this: once there was a man who dared God to speak. Burn the bush like you did for Moses, God, I will follow. Collapse the walls like you did for Joshua, God, I will fight. Still the waves like you did on the Galilee, God, I will listen. And so the man sat by the bush near a wall close to the sea and waited for the God to speak. And God heard this man, so God answered. He sent the fire not for the bush but for the church. He brought down the wall of not of a brick but of a sin. He still a storm not of the sea but of the soul. And God waited for the man to respond. And he waited and he waited and he waited. But because the man was looking at the bushes, not at the hearts, bricks not at the lives, seas not at the soul, he decided God has done nothing. Finally, he looked at God and said, God, have you lost your power? And God looked at him and said, have you lost your hearing? Friends, God is always there speaking. Like, this is your opportunity. Go ahead. Move out. That's happening here. Let's get it everywhere. Once we were the lost sheep, but somebody took time to share this Jesus to us, that's where we are here. Today, I know when I got done with my school, I graduated, and then there was super exciting offers that came in my way saying that, hey, this is what we want to offer you. You can be here. You can stay back here. You become a citizen. It's like, wow, this sounds really cool. And God all of a sudden spoke to me and said, this is not the place I want you to be here. Look at the map. There are people dying there without knowing the truth. You got to go there. I'm like, okay. And he brought me here so that I can learn in a different perspective. And I did. I know the thing that's coming ahead of me is going to be terrible. Today I want to say one who called me is bigger than anything else in this world. I don't care what's coming in front of me. It may be pain, persecution, trouble, mountaintop experience, or dark valley situation. No matter what. He is bigger than anything else. I don't care, because my God is bigger than anything else. And no matter what, I am on the winning side. You may be new to this faith. You may be here for the first time. You don't know about this God. But I want to give you a word of encouragement. Trust me, this God is awesome. He is the only one who can give light when we have the darkness inside. He is seeing the broken hearts, has seen the hurt that you have in your life. Our Heavenly Father's heart was broken by seeing this broken world. And he called, and Jesus is in this high glory. He's having fantastic time in heaven. But Father's heart was broken by seeing this broken world. And he said, son, you got to go do this mission. He gave this assignment to Jesus. And Jesus decided to walk all the way from heaven. He came to this earth and he took one step by becoming one among us. He took another step ministering everybody in that time. And he took another step in the Garden of Gethsemane, where the trouble and the pain is getting so much. And he said, God, your will be done, not mine. I know this pain is so much. But he didn't give up. He took another step getting into the Calvary. He accepted nails in his hands and his feet. And a lot of people thought, that's it. But he took another step, dying on the cross for you and me, just to redeem you and me. And that's not the end. When he was put into this tomb, everybody thought, oh, yeah, that's done. And the Saturn must be celebrating. Yeah, a task was accomplished. But That's not the end. He took another step with all the might and power and glory. That early in the morning, he resurrected back. That's the power that redeemed you and me. That's the reason you and me are here in this place. And now, after taking all these steps from that glory to this lost world, having this power, and he says now, I took all these steps just to redeem you and me. I came all the way from there to here. Now it's your turn to go from here to everywhere. Now it's your turn to go from here to everywhere. That's what God is calling us to do. I know the situation can be really, really bad. When you say, I will walk with Jesus, yes, he is walking with us all the time, and he is leading us in wonderful, yeah, look at these leaves. It's wonderful. It's fall. But there will be times when he calls us to do something, he is taking us through where actually we are walking into this darkness. I'm like, it's getting scary, God. I don't think I can do this. I don't think I'm qualified. This is, oh my gosh, it's dark. No, I can't see. But one thing we got to remember, no matter where you are, he is with us. We are on a winning side. He came from there to here just to redeem you and me. And now he is calling us to go from here to everywhere. Let's respond to that call. Thank you so much.